Scripture, and then I'll tell you a little bit. Well, the topic is to be all confident children. Psalm 123, I lift up my eyes to you. Do you sit enthroned in heaven? As the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master. Now, so try and think yourself into the situation, slave and the master. I don't want you to think of, you know, in the Bible times they did have slaves, but those slaves were actually treated quite well. It's not like the slaves we know when slaves from Africa were sent all over the world. They were treated terribly. So just think of it in a bit of a better context than the one that we normally think of. As the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a female slave look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God. Till he shows us his mercy. Have mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy on us, for we have endured no end of contempt. So this scripture to me, and the reason it made lots of sense to me, this scripture speaks of a slave who is totally dependent on his master. And he's looking at his master because all his provision, whether it be house, food, everything comes from the master. And he knows that. So he sits, and it's not like he's begging the master, but he is looking at the master and is saying, provide for me. Care for me. I'm dependent on you. Slaves work like they were owned by their masters. And the one thing that I've realized since my child has been born, she's there very quiet. I can see that. But I tell you what, she can scream as well. She does. And then if she starts, I can't do anything about it. But she is totally dependent on me and my wife. So this whole thing of becoming like a child before God is starting to make a lot more sense to me nowadays. Because I'm seeing this child, and as the scripture says, and it's not like they want to change it, they can change it, they want it to be different. They're just happy being a little baby. You know? They're just happy being that little baby, that fragile thing, and they just trust it, the father and the mother. Because you're going to provide for me. That's your job. Do it. Here I am, till 20 years old. But I want you to get this picture of a child and this slave-master, not mentality, but where you are totally dependent on God. And you know what? The only thing that is required from that child, well, at the moment, not too much, but as you grow up as a child and as a child of God, is obedience. The rest of the things he says, you should not worry about them. So it's easy for babies now, you know. But then we grow up and then we come, like, now I have to provide for my family. Now it's a family. You know, it just changed recently. Now it's a family, actually. So then we get to the situation in our lives where we think, well, we don't even think, but the pressures of the world just become too much and we try and take over the role of God in our lives. Where he says, but I want you to be like a child before me. Just relax. I will provide. And that's, you know, if we, you know what the word provide, provision means? You pre-vision. You see the thing, but you're seeing it beforehand. You can see God providing. That is what provision means. We see that God will provide. And God is a provider. So he sees what we need, and then he provides it. Amen. Actually, I must go on to the next scripture because I think I'm missing my sermon a bit. Amen. Luke 18, verse 15 to 17. Are you still with me? We're talking about confident children. We're talking about confident spiritual children. Me and you, we are spiritual children of God. And God wants us to be, firstly, children, but he wants us to be confident. That's actually what I want to focus on. But in Scripture, it says that God gives the kingdom. We always speak about kingdom. You hear people, oh, the kingdom must come and God's kingdom must come. But God says in his word, he doesn't give the kingdom. Or he only gives the kingdom to children. People that are like children. Now what is he referring to? He's only giving it to babies? No. He's giving it to people that relate to him as children. Dependent. Luke 18 verse 15 to 17. People who were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. Why? Because they thought, like, it's us older people that are important. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." So God did not say that, Jesus did not say the kingdom of God belongs to only little children or babies. He said it belongs to such as these. The first scripture I showed you is a slave looking unto his master saying, "You're the boss, you must provide." So God says, I can give my kingdom, the kingdom of God, we're always preaching about. God says, yes, but only if you're totally dependent on me, because that's when I can give it to you. Truly, I tell you, anyone will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. So let me just look at one thing that's, if you look at a little baby like that, and God wants us to be like that, that child is, I can call it, uncontaminated by fear. Because the moment we start growing up, we get older, we start thinking about life, we look at the news, we read newspapers, what enters our brain? What enters our whole mentality in life? Oh, it's a financial crisis. It's again one. It's depression. What enters our mind? Fear. Constant fear. We start lacking. Is God really in charge? He's not coming through now, so I need to do something. But babies are uncontaminated by that fear. They don't have it. They simply don't even know about it. And God wants to get us to a place where He removes all the fear. They sometimes, a lot of times they say the opposite of fear is faith. Amen. Are you with me, people? Luister jylle of slaap jylle of wat? So God says His kingdom is received by little children, people that are like children. God also says He only reveals His kingdom to children. Matthew 11:24-26. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. At that time Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your glorious, your gracious will." This scripture, just before those few scriptures, it speaks of Jesus rebuking certain cities where He did lots of miracles, but they did not want to repent. They did not want to turn from their wicked ways. And it says here that God has actually hidden the kingdom of God from them because they were wise and they relied on their own understanding. So in our lives, and I mean, it's not only applicable to the church, but if you look at certain societies, and I'm sorry to say Europe falls under them, I don't have anything against Europe, but they rely on their own understanding and on their own wisdom. And God says, I can't help you. I can't reveal myself to you. I can't show you my kingdom. I need to show my kingdom to people that say, I take this, my own will, my own understanding, my own wisdom. I set it aside and I'm like a baby and I say, what's next? Tell me what's next. That's all I want to know. I just want to do the next step. I just want to be obedient. I don't want to worry about finances. And it's not funny, but it's good to see that the scriptures just after this one, it's where Jesus speaks and He says, come to me and I will give you rest, those who are heavy and burdened. So it also implies that we can only receive the rest, that peace, even if it's chaotic around us. But we can only receive that if we come to Him as little children. In other words, if we lay that down, if we lay all those fears down. Amen. That's when God can work through us. Who said it? It was Risha that said it. And we should never think, can't remember everything, but that God doesn't hear or listen or want to hear the details. You're never in a hole too deep for God to get you out. Just lay your own understanding and wisdom aside. Amen. Okay. I want to speak about two things. If you want to be a child of God, it is very important. I saw it again in youth on Friday, which was amazing. It was really nice. Is that firstly, you have to understand your father's heart. Because for this baby, there, little Ember, that's my child's name, for her to lie there, okay, obviously if they become a little bit older, she trusts me. I'm not going to hurt her. Heidi's not going to hurt her. Okay, so it comes naturally for children at that age. But in order for her to be a child, that she must trust the father's heart. Is his heart to protect me? Is his heart after, you know, to keep me, to provide for me? And you know what? Many people and many Christians grow up without knowing the father's heart. So you can't be a child if you don't trust. I'm doing this because that's how I hold her. Sometimes she cries, then this helps, pat her on the back a little bit. Then she starts crying, then I put her there, pat. And then if she still cries, and I say, Heidi. Or what else do I do? Oh, we've got this carrier, pat here. But sometimes she cries through all of that. So then I give it to Heidi. Then I go outside and play with the dogs. Where was I? Okay. So, the first thing for you to be a confident child of God is you obviously have to trust your father. And like I said, people that don't know God, and then some people that actually have a relationship with God, amen, let's just be honest. Sometimes we doubt, okay? Let's just be honest. We all doubt every now and then. We all doubt God's character every now and then. But it's for God to start and cleansing us from that thing. Because God doesn't want to use us if we're walking in this fear. Is he going to smack me? Is he going to correct me? Yes, he might correct you. And that's why sometimes you can see on how people react to discipline. What was their relationship with their father? Because if a child reacts, okay, nobody really reacts so positively. You get it on the buttocks. You know, that's not so positive. But if you react positively and you know why your parents give you a hiding or something like that, then it shows to me that your relationship with your father was good. Because God is going to correct us. But I receive it, not always, but I receive it from God because he's a good God. I know his character is sorted out in my brain. So the first thing that God needs to sort out in our lives is we must understand the Father's heart. Romans 18 verse 14 to 16. That's Romans 8, sorry. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. I told you about this fear. But you've received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. This is one of the things, and I want to almost encourage you. Look for it. Pray for it. But God, when I just became a Christian, he took me through stages in my life where I still don't know what he did. Because I would have my quiet time and start crying, and I couldn't stop crying, and I don't know I couldn't put my finger on what he's doing. It's not like he told me, Theo, I'm doing this now. But I know what he was doing. He was taking out all those bad ideas about what I had from God. He was taking them out. And he was trying to get his heart, his Abba Father heart, back into my life. And you know what? It still happens. It should still happen. Where God says, I want to wash that nonsense out of your life so that you can see me as your Father. And I want to say that you don't have to have that experience in church. You can have that experience in your own quiet time when you seek him. And people, we always think we must seek God in this specific manner. We must sit down and read the word like this for half an hour. Then we'll feel God. Man, if I had a relationship like that with my wife, every Friday night we go for a little lunch, supper, something. No, man, it doesn't work like that. We have a relationship. We do things together. We enjoy life. So in the same way, God will touch you at a time when you don't expect it, but expect it. Expect him to wash that stuff out of your life so that you can understand his heart. Amen. This is old news for you. But if you are here this morning, I want to pray for it afterwards, and you feel that, man, this this father heart thing, I somehow still doubt it. We want to pray for you. The second thing, if we want to be children of God, is, I don't know if it's for everybody, but it definitely was for me when I was very small. My dad was the best. Whether or not you thought so, I don't care, but I thought he was the best. I thought he was the strongest, the fastest, the best dad. You know, he played cricket, he played rugby, but I was too small to remember. So I thought he was the best. And all children, when they are that, at that age, when they trust their dad, they think he's the best, man. When if he serves, he's the best. Even if he wipes out every wave. If he plays rugby, if he provides for us financially, he's my dad. He's the best. Now, sometimes we grow up, but we don't think that our God is the best. We give the devil too much credit. You know, the devil is working in my life again. Yeah, but where's God? You know? Yes, he is working. I know he's working every day. He doesn't take a rest. But my God also doesn't rest when he looks after me. He's my dad. This is actually where I want to get to. David was actually a bit, sometimes you want to think, but God, why do you like this man so much? You know, he just really messed up. He messed up terribly, killed people. But anyway, David understood something. 2 Samuel 22 verse 30. I mean, he could write Psalms, not only one, Psalms talking about God's greatness and how awesome God is. And then the next one, he complains. He says, Lord, wait. But anyway, he understood this at least. 2 Samuel 22:30. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. What does that mean? With my God, I can take on life. And I have been in life, and I know that life is not a bed of roses. But I know with my God, I jump over this wall. I get through this army. That's why the scripture says, though I walk not around the valley, the shadow of shadow of death, but I walk through it. Though I walk through it. Are you with me? God doesn't take us around all the troubles. Then that psalm would have read differently. It says, though I go through it. So David understood. And the first thing, you know, if one can call it, the first great act of David was what? Goliath, hy groot reus van 'n, would have been a good lock for a rugby team. But David not only understood his father's heart, he also understood his father's ability. And his father, God, which is our father, was the best. And he trusted and he relied on him for those things. And I believe this is the thing that God wants to tell us. Is he wants to tell us, be more confident in who you are. But we can only be confident if we know who he is. Philippians 2 verse 11 to 13. I'm just going to drop this in there. And every tongue, I think Janko spoke about this. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. I need to explain what I want to mean with this scripture. Yeah, this scripture says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I remember when I did my Foundation 4. For those of you who don't know it, Foundation 4 is deliverance. You go through deliverance. We take a whole week and not the whole week, it's the Wednesday, I think, and the Friday and the Saturday. And we go through the things, the strongholds that you believe you have in your life, the things that hold you back. And I'll never forget the one thing that one guy told me when he was praying for me. He was saying, because now you get to Foundation 4 and you think everybody must sort you out. Come on, pray for me, get rid of these demons, get me right. And the one guy told me, he said, listen, I see a picture. I don't know if you said you saw a picture, but if he said, you must take the sword in your hand spiritually and you must chase things out of your life. And this is what I want to get to, is that we must get to a place in our lives where we start chasing the devil out of our own life. Because we trust firstly in the Father's heart. We know Him. We know He's good. And we know He's the best. We know He's got the ability to do it. To me, this is what the scripture means. It means I work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I don't rely on everybody always to come and bless me, pray for me, deliver me. When you know your Father's ability, that's when you understand that He's the deliverer, He's the healer, He's the everything. So you start taking the sword and whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Amen. All right, okay, anyway, I must go on. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. So we know God is amazing. We know God is, He's got all authority and He can do everything. But now we must understand there's a principle in Scripture where God says, but I've delegated. Good bosses, good managers, good directors, they delegate. They sit and drink coffee and the rest of the people do the work. That's what delegation means. No, not a good pastor also does that. He looks very, you know, have you seen people in the office? They can look very busy. But don't look at the back of the laptop screen. They might be reading newspaper or playing those card games. But they look, when you come into the office, like, yes, I have an appointment. No. Okay. Delegation. Matthew 28. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples. Next scripture. Matthew 10 verse 1. And he called to him his 12 disciples. He said, come here. And he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. What is the difference between you and God's disciples? There's a big difference. No, there's no difference. So if you believe in you trust in your Father's character, His heart for you, you know His ability, what He can do, how awesome and great He is, and you understand this principle, but He says, I'm giving you that authority. Then what should we be afraid of? But sometimes, when we were praying for the youth on Friday, we think that, no, God's only going to use me when I'm 45. No. Very young. God wants to use you. So I'm speaking to youth, I'm speaking to old people, I'm speaking to anybody. Ephesians 4 verse 10 to 12. He who descended is the one who has ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. This scripture is once again where God says, but I don't want to keep all this authority. I don't have a control mentality. I'm delegating my authority to my people so that they can go and build a church. Romans, sorry, I forgot to put the chapter on there, but this is the passage where Jesus speaks to this Roman guy. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, the soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And I tell that one, go, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you. I don't know what the last word is. This scripture speaks where a man comes to God and he says, Lord, please, there's somebody that's sick. Come and pray for him. But you don't even have to come to my house. Just say the word. Just delegate. Just give the authority and say that it must be so. Because I understand as a man in charge of my army or whatever he had is that when I tell that guy to go and do it, he does it because I've delegated. He goes and he flows with it. And God says after, I have not seen anybody with faith like this. Amazing, this man believes. And I want to say to you tomorrow, this morning, that if you believe in God, in His ability, and you understand that He delegates that to you, you can run with it. You should run with it. That's what God would see as faith, as people that are running with what He has delegated to them, the authority that He has given to them. And I said to the youth again on Friday, you know, Smith Wigglesworth, I told everybody the story, I guess. I think he raised 7 people or something like that from the dead. Prayed for them, they were dead, and he prayed for them. Isaac, terug. Daar het allemaal nou wakker geword ook. But you know what? He prayed for so many that did not come to life. So we would be like, the first headache we pray for. I still have a headache. We think, oh, God doesn't want to use me. Pray for every headache you can find until it works. Smith Wigglesworth had to do it. He raised people from the dead. We just want headaches. But trust that God has delegated that authority to you. Stop waiting on somebody to do the job. Do it. We do the job. Amen. Oh, I hope I'm making sense anyway. Ephesians 1 verse 7-23, the last scripture. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, that's you and me, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His great might, that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also the one to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. It says there in verse 18, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you? What are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints? That's Paul here, I think. Yeah. He's praying for this Ephesian church. He says, you know what? I just want to pray that God will enlighten you, that you can see what is the power that has been delegated to you, so that you can see what God wants to do through you. Not me, Paul. I'm going to go away. You're at a church in Ephesus. I'm going to go away, but I'm praying that God will show you. So, firstly, we come to God. If we want to see the kingdom of God, we must be like children. We must understand His heart for us, the Father heart. Because then we run to God, not away from God. But then we also understand His ability, and we understand that He's given us that ability. He's delegated it to us. And then God wants us to run in that. You know, and this is where I want to get to with this whole sermon. So many times as Christians, man, it's like we wait. 3 angels must appear before we lay our hands on somebody to pray for him. Wasn't that what Jessica said? That we can be the hands and feet of God, even though you don't feel like it. Even though You last night made a big mess of whatever. You, we never feel right. We're always full of sin, okay? Just get that out of your system. We shouldn't be full of sin. But God is gracious. And God is saying to his people, come on. I'm giving you all authority. So what does this mean practically? I've written down a few things here. But every one of us here probably have a different level of responsibility in this church. You might be a small group leader. You might be in the worship. You might be preaching, children's church, elder, whatever. What God is, I really feel what God is saying is God wants us to just walk in more confidence in that position that we have. I've seen as a pastor, man, when I became pastor, I knew nothing. Yeah, you prayed for me, I know. But I realized that as God placed me in that position, he spoke to me. He gives you the answers. He gives you direction. The moment you take that step and say, then he tells you, okay, so you do this. And then he tells you. But he doesn't tell you anything if you're here. And I just want to say this out of encouragement, that embrace the place where you are. Embrace the position that you are. And if you just a member, just trust God that he will make you grow to whatever level he wants to take you. But walk in confidence. You know, I don't actually want to say this, but people that are in the occult, they're sometimes more confident than we are. You know, they know what. Okay, if you're offended, come to me afterwards. I'll pray for you. But sometimes we don't walk with that confidence. We don't walk with that authority. But we know Jesus. Amen. So whether or not you have to give direction where you are in your small group or whether in worship, give the direction. Don't be afraid to do it. Guide people. Prophesy over people. I always say when I came to youth on Friday, I had to lead a small group there. I didn't know. I didn't prepare anything. So at least they gave us some questions. And then we started praying for people. And God showed us stuff there for people. But it was only when I lifted my hand and prayed for him. And said, Yire, help me. What? No. Then that's when he showed me. But I had to step out. Amen. And I wrote down here, we are too careful in walking in authority. And sometimes our carefulness is not a godly carefulness. There's obviously a place where one is sensitive and you're careful. You don't just do whatever you want to. But sometimes we feel fear. Amen. Okay, I want to pray for us. The two things that I said there is God wants us to, you know, none of this will make sense to you if you don't trust God as your Father. None of this, you don't want to go to him because you don't even know if he's good. So the first group of people that I have to pray for here this morning, and it might be that you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, is people that just come to God and lay down everything before him as little children and say, I trust in you. But you know what? We don't want to do that sometimes because we don't know who he is. Is he good? What's he going to do to me? But I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ is good. Jesus Christ, God is love. So let's just bow our heads. And I want to ask if there's anybody here this morning, if you want us to pray for the Father's heart, that you will understand it, that you will grasp it. And it might be that you've never accepted Jesus Christ, so you always ran away from him. But if you want to run towards him this morning, or if you want to come forward and let us just lay hands on you and so that we can pray and add our faith to your faith, so that you can run to God, so that you can see his heart. If you are that person here this morning, why don't you put up your hand? If you want us to pray for God's heart to be revealed in your life, is there anybody like that? Okay. Can I ask? You know I'm going to ask you to come forward. Can you come forward, please? We're going to lay our hands on you. If there are people, more people like that, come. Amen. And then, where's some money that may can help you? JP, you can help it here. Carol's here. And then I'm just going to pray for us as a church, but you can also come forward. I'm going to close and then you can come forward if you want to. But if you want us to pray for God's confidence in your life, just to, you know that you're in a position where you're a leader or a something, but you find it sometimes difficult just to take the step to be confident. I'm just going to pray for us all for that. And then if you want us to pray, lay our hands on you as well, you can just come forward afterwards. Father, I thank you for this morning. Father, we want to be confident children. But firstly, we must be children. And Father, we take the reins of life. So many times we take them from you because we're not sure if we can let them go. We're not sure if we can just leave them. We're constantly afraid. But Father, so I pray that you will help us to let go of the van die rieme van die lewe, die goed wat ons so vas hou. Ons sal altyd goed inperk, intrek, in beheer hou, beheer van wees. So I pray, Lord, that you will help us to let go of those things. And even if there is no provision, we don't see the provision, Father, that we will trust in your provision. And Father, then I want you to help us to be confident in your ability, and to be confident in the authority that you have delegated to us, to walk in our callings, to start walking on a progressive learning curve with you. Father, I thank you. I want to just prophesy into people's lives here that young children here are going to prophesy and lay hands on people and they're going to get healed. They're going to pray for kids there in their school in SSS and they're going to get healed. They're going to get delivered. Father, I thank you for people here this morning that are going to stop looking to other people to be their deliverer. But they're going to take the sword in their own hands and say, but I'm going to trust on my God to be the deliverer in my life. I'm going to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. Father, I thank you for people here that it's just going to grow from glory to glory in whatever position they are. If it's worship or small groups or elders or whatever, grow from glory to glory. Father, I thank you that this is your heart and we trust in your ability this morning. We trust in your ability in Jesus' name. Amen.